Okay, I'm starting the recording. Okay, I'm starting on some Chalfam Beis again that we're mentioning. Let's get my bearings straight here. Yeah, so if you have a Yisrael and a guy that bought a field in Surya, so you have Tevel and Meiser and Urav from Zebazad, the Rabbi, that's Rabbi Shita. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Kalkashi Yisrael Chayev, Kalkashal Goy Pater. By the way, I just want to tell you, tomorrow's Daf, Naf Yomi, and Gittin Daf Mem Zion, it quotes this Machlakish Rabbi Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. It's Mamish on the Daf.
Wow.
On the Daf. So I only know that because I'm subbing for Stewie tomorrow. So I happen to read it. But that's the classic Machlakish about whether Yesh Brera or Ain Brera, whereas Rabbi holds they're mixed together, and that he holds Ein Breira, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds Yesh Breira, so therefore, when we divide it up, I'm getting my chalik, and the guy getting his chalik. Okay, so this machlaikas, okay, Rabbi Yossi says that's a machlaikas only when they divide it up the field, become muscle, when it's still attached to the ground. But, on the Psalm of Bezim and Alf, Avalim Choku Godish, if they divided it up, while it was in the stack, in other words, it had already been harvested and put into a pile, then after Shimon Gamliel, my little Rebbe, shall call Kalak shall shift the suit. Then even if Shimon Gamliel, who holds normally Yesh Breira, will agree that in this case you hold Ein Breira. Each and every stalk of grain is owned in partnership. So now the reason why this is that way, it says on the bottom here, is in the second paragraph in footnote 2, it says we did this before, I'm just saying it again. The reason is because the Breira is clarifying who let me put it this way. Whoever's ground it grew on, okay, remember this is a guy in a Yisrael B'Shutfas, they own a property. So which part of the property does the guy own? We're talking in Surya. So whatever part he owns is not chayiv in anything. It's mafkiya midesh. Tevel midesh. Chosomaisis. The parts that I own are chayiv drabanan, right? So which part of the ground is mine? Which part of the ground is the guy's? That you can be mavarer at the time that we're harvesting. That when I harvest this stalk here, this is my ground. And that stalk over there, that's your ground. So that's what the pshat is. But if we don't divide it up until after all the grain is mixed together, so you're not being mavar or anything, because then the pshat is you can have to, let's take from perspective of seeds. Don't think of it as stalks. Think of them as a thousand wheat seeds. All those wheat seeds are mixed up, and I took 50% of the seeds, and he took 50% of the seeds. Some of those seeds came, they were dispersed across the entire, we don't have any beerer now, which part of the ground is mine, which part of the ground is yours. We could both be having seeds which came from the same stalk. So we weren't mavirer who owns that piece of ground. We can't be mavirer it now, it's too late. That's why, so in other words, the Shiloh of Breira, it goes to what it came out of the ground. This is the way he explains it here. The reason Breira cannot be applied once the grain has been harvested is that ownership of each stalk derives from the ownership of the land from which it grew. Since multiple stalks can emerge from a single point in the ground and all the stalks have already been mixed together, the division of the grain will not necessarily allow us to attribute unique ownership in the land. By contrast, when they divide the grain that is still attached to the ground, you can say the division retroactively clarifies which part of the land belongs to each partner. That's the pshat. Now, there is a problem here, obviously. The problem is, so what's going to happen next year? Next year, we're going to make the same division, and we're going to clarify, Lemafreya, that I own a different piece of ground. You own this ground, and I own that ground. This year, I own this ground. Like, how does that work? That's the problem he raises over here. How does ownership in the land retroactively determine year after year? Yeah, that's a problem. Okay. Okay, let's go on. Is that okay? Is that answer you?
I think think so. I think I'm missing something in the shot of Yesh Breira. Because like the example of the guy that's with the wine, right? And he didn't meiser the wine, right? And he wants to drink it on Shabbos. So we say he leaves at the end of the bottle. We say Yesh Breira, that's the meiser that he's gonna give, right?
So
how do we know? I'm saying it's all mixed together at the point that he's drinking from the bottle. I'm saying, how do we know at the end, just because that state at the end, the same thing here. The grain is all mixed together, right? If I take 50% and you take 50%, right, whether it's land or whether it's grain, the chiddush of Yesh Breira, I thought, and obviously I'm mistaken, is that it's Mizbarah L'Mafreya, that this was come from
the difference is Pasha, the difference is over there. You have a Chela Kamavura at the end. In the case of the wine,
because
there is a chelik mavur, there's a very clear body of wine which I'm using, but over here I've got grain kernels which it's not clear where they came from. You can't say they all came from the same piece of ground. That's not reasonable.
No, but you could say. You're saying even the man that argues prayer, it has to be.
It has to be something which can be. You can't be able to be mavar or something. Yesh Breira means you subsequently are mavarer later on, retroactively, where it came from. But you can't figure that out now. It's from all different places. That's the pshat. Okay. Next. He's basically saying, he's going to discuss the same basic idea. When they divided the field while the grain was standing. If they were harvested into sheaves, then he's basically saying pretty much the same thing. It's a slight difference. So what is the difference between Rabbi Yonah and what was the previous one's name? Rabbi Yossi. We have Rabbi Yossi saying that basically it sounded like the same thing, right? But it's another opinion. So the Gemara is going to just clarify what the difference is between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yonah. The difference is like this. The difference is, in contrast, let's read the English first. In contrast to Rabbi Yossi, who said he agrees with Rebbe in a case where they divided grain that had already been stacked, Rabbi Yonah said it's even a case where the partners divided the sheaves, meaning that Rabbi Yonah understood Rabbi Yossi to be referring specifically to cases involving stacked grain. Rabbi Yonah reacted, and in his own opinion, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agrees with Rebbe, even in a case where the partners divided sheaves of grain that had not yet been stacked. What's the difference between stacked and not stacked? The Gemara's going to ask the question.
It could be that at a certain point, that's when you become chayv and meiser. So does that make a difference?
No. I don't think it's chayv and meiser until miruach, and I don't think in either case we've reached miruach.
Yeah, because this is still in the field.
This is still in the field. We haven't gotten to miruach yet. So we're dealing with ownership. That's all we're dealing with. Al daita Rabbi Yonah, ma ben gadash ma ben amarim. According to Rabbi Yonah, what's the difference really between whether it's stacked or whether it's sheaves? In either situation, it's already been harvested. So what's the difference? So the Gemara answers, b'kaitzer kosher hu miniach lefanav. The machlokes is like this. This is exactly what I was telling you before. It's if I go ahead and I cut some grain and I leave it right there on the spot where it grew out of the ground. So I don't gather up my stalks of grain. I cut them all down and I leave them exactly where they fell. So now that's where the machlokes comes about. If we divide it up at that point, so that's where there's going to be a machlokes. What? Rabbi Yossi holds in this case, that's the first sheet on the previous page. Rabbi Yossi holds in that instance, the grain is treated as if it was still attached to the ground because none of it has been moved from the place of origin. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would apply to Breira to retroactively determine that this is the Jewish person's part. Rabbi Yonah holds no, even it's limited only to when it's actual standing grain. Once it's been cut, you no longer can do it. That's what they seem to explain over here. Okay. The bottom, he goes a little bit more barbaric, but let's keep going. We got a lot to cover tonight. We're talking about where they originally, in other words, the machlokas is where they originally purchased this, where they did not have an intention to divide it up. And subsequently, they changed their minds and they decided to divide it up. But if the original intention was to divide it up when we first bought it, then Rebbe might have learned from Gamliel. Then even Rebbe, who normally holds Ein Breira, will be masking from Gamliel. When we ultimately divide it up, that's what we decide. That's what we were going to do all along. That was our plan. This is my chelik, which I was supposed to get from the get-go. So our B'yaisi says, no, it seems to be an argument on this statement that Rabbi Yishai is trying to present. Why? Rabbi Abu said, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, if you have brothers who are partners, in other words, this is talking about the following case. In the bottom of footnote 9, 10, he describes the halacha of Meiser Behem. So there's a special, let's go there's a little arichas here, but I'll just summarize it here. So every one out of every 10 animals, of course, you have to bring from Yerushalayim because it's Meiser Behem. Now, that does not apply to a flock that is owned in partnership. So if there's shutvim, there's no ma'aser behemah. But it does apply to a flock that brothers inherited from their father, but they have not yet divided it up. So, in other words, so if the brothers divide it up, they're going to still be chayv and ma'aser. Now, what happens if they subsequently rejoin together b'shutvus? They go to the lawyer, the lawyer gives everybody a chelik, and then I say to my brother, listen, let's become partners, let's become shutvim again. So then you have a machlokes. If they divided the flock and later decided to combine their shares and recreate the partnership, then the Mishnah says they're like any regular set of partners and they're exempt from ma'aser behemah. Okay, so again, let's see. It's a ha'achen ha'shutofen. They're the brothers that subsequent to the division of their Yerusha became shutfim. Okay, that's the case. That's what it means. Ha'achen ha'shutofen. So the Mishnah over there says that it's pater from Meister. So he makes a comment on that Mishnah that it's really machlokes Rabbi and Rishon Gamliel. The Mishnah is coming out like Rebbe, I think that makes sense. Yeah, it reflects Rebbe. He rejects the principle of Breira. So Mamela, the svar is like this. If you reject Breira, then the pshat is that when each brother gets his chelik, it's not the pshat that when Mavarer, this was the chelik kamagilo from the get-go. Rather, what he says is like this: it's the division of the flock is like an exchange of shares. It's like a mechira. It's like achen shalchalku lekuchos. That's the word, right? The Gemara uses are they like lekuchos or they like yarshim. So if lekuchos, it means that I'm buying my chelik with what I give you, and you're buying my chelik with what you give me. So we're buying each other's chelik in the Yerusha. That's if you hold Ein Breira. So therefore, if we subsequently become partners, that's a new thing. Has no shaykhus with the original arrangement, and we're fresh partners like anything, you know? Like it's like if we bought something from the shuk, and then we became partners subsequently, we're shutfim, and the mela, the behemoths are all part of our miser. But according to Shimming and Leal, when we divided up the estate, and you hold Yesh Breira, the pshat is this was the chelik amagili. When we subsequently re-become partners again, then I'm reverting back to the state that it was in at the time of the original Yerusha. It's reversible. In other words, Reb Shimon Gamliel holds, if you hold Yesh Breira, the whole chalukah is reversible. If it's reversible, then we're just like we were when we inherited it. And you're chayv in Meisim Heimu. That's what Reb Yechanan says. Okay? So that's what Reb Yossi is saying, Milayim Drabanim Pligin. Because Ravu said B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan that the Mishnah of Achon Shutofin is a Machlokes Rabbi and Rishon Gamliel. Now let's take a look at this. Right now he's going to ask his question. You just said Rabbi Yishai that if they originally bought it with the intention to divide up, that there's no that there's no machlokas. Everybody holds Yesh Breira. When we come to divide up a Yerusha, isn't that exactly what we originally intended to do? From the very get-go, we knew we were going to divide up the Yerusha. So according to what you're saying, even Rebbe should agree that Yesh Breira, and so everyone should hold that that it should be part of from Maestros later on when we read them, join each other, right? That's what he's asking. Isn't that their intention to divide originally? So you see, it's disputed by other Amoraim. So in the footnotes, he talks about what the answer to this question is. I'm just going to tell you Baal Peh very quickly, one-liner. The difference is that one may become, in the case of a regular Kenyan, we become Shutofim, like in the case of the guy in Israel, we became Shutofim Midas. So our original entry into the partnership was with a certain understanding between us. Masha and Ken, brothers, they just become Shutofim because their father died. They didn't come in to that shutfus with an understanding what was going to happen later on. It happens naturally. So therefore, that's his answer to the question. Anyway, Ayin Shom, if you want to see that, Richas, it's in footnote number 11, on 62a2. Okay, next, Halacha Zayin. Ger v'goy sheyarshu. Okay, now we're talking about...
Brothers.
What?
Brothers.
They're brothers in a sense. In a sense, they're biological
the
brothers.
The ger is reborn.
The ger is reborn. Now, right. What's the rule? Ger should be ger. Ger should be ger to conchinoil a dummy. What? Ger should be ger to conchinoil a dummy. And therefore, what? He's not related to his father.
Right.
When male of his father dies, he's not supposed to inherit anything.
Right.
They made a takana, right? They didn't want going back to Chazal Surah. So there's a ton of the Rabbanim, but let's work it out on the D'oraisa level. Let's think on the D'oraisa level.
Right.
Okay, so now, Ger v'goy, that's why this Mishnah is Dafka in this case, because we're dealing with the D'oraisa. Ger v'goy, sheyoshos aveim goy, they inherited it. So the goy obviously has different items in his possession which are not mutar banos, such as avodah zarah, yayin esach, right? So what should he do? Aymer loy, yachol aymer loy, he could say to him, tolat avodah zarah, you brother guy, right? Take the avodah zarah. If I need to toss some mice, I'll take the money. Ata yayin esach, if I need paris, right? Take the wine cellar. You keep the whole wine cellar, and I'll take all the grain in the granary, right? So that's mutter. And the reason that's mutter is because he isn't really dealing with things that are his, because he didn't inherit anything on a Torah level. So Mela, the ger, is making deals with his brother with stuff that he doesn't own. Nothing wrong with that. In other words, if it would be two Jewish boys, it's hard to understand it this way. Let's say there's two Jewish boys, and one is a min and a mumar, and he's Ibn Abin Azara, and right. So, and the father was an Ibn Azara, right? So, and they inherited idols. He couldn't do that, because as soon as at death, as soon as death occurs to the father, they become shutfim. They become owners, I should say, not shutfim. They become owners of the estate automatically. No kinyanim necessary. That's Yerusha. So, Mamela, you can't say you take the Ibn Azara and I'll take this, because you're getting Hanor from the Avodah Zarah. You're dealing, wheeling and dealing with Avodah Zarah and Yayin Esach, which is also Hanor. That's why this Mishnah is Dafka, this case of a guy and a ger. So you have someone who really didn't inherit anything on the Torah level, right?
There's no concern about him, Mamela, like attributing Cheshivos to the Avodah Zarah and to these things. Plus, he's in a Goyish court.
You mean you're talking about Reitza Bekiyumo? Is that what you mean by that?
That's not what I meant necessarily. It's more like being makshiv the Goyish Avodah Zarah.
What do you mean by being makshiv it?
Because he's saying, you take that piece of, and it's equated to what I'm at my chelek, so I'm attributing a value to
it. Well, it does have a value to the guy. Yeah. I don't see that there's an Issa Torah to do
like
that.
He's in a Goyish court also.
No. I don't know if he's in any court. They're just talking. I don't think there's a court. Yeah. Anyway, but that mission is obvious. Let's speak out the obvious now. In Mishabol, the Rishos Ger, Also, once it comes into his rishos, if they made some sort of a kinyan, right, then he can't do it anymore. Now, if you sell Paris in Surya, again, this is a makam which is Kibush Yachid, right? That is to say, an Amal Aretz is the seller. And I'm in Surya, and there's Amal Aretz selling Paris in Surya. And he says, you should know, these Paris that I'm selling here, they come from Eretz Yisrael. So that's really something which, if he wouldn't have opened his mouth, I would have never thought that it came from Eretz Yisrael. I would have assumed it came from Surya, because that's where he's located. So, Chayav Lasser, you are obligated to take Maisris. You assume that he's telling you the truth. Now, on South Bay's own base, if he says, Me'usarin Hay, if he says, that even though they came from Eretz Yisrael, but I took Maisris already, then what he's believed. This is the rule of Pesha Asa Pesha Hitta. We would have thought that it was Mutter, and therefore, we would have never assumed that it was Asar. It's only Asar because he said so, therefore he can be Mutter at Asar. Misha Lihem, if the Amar says the Paris are from my own field in Surya, Chayav La'asar, the buyer has to take Maisers, because the seller is Chayav to take Maisers, Min Rabban I'm talking about, and so therefore he also, obviously, he's not Amar, so we don't believe that he took the Maisers. But if he says he did take the Maisers, then that one, he's believed. Why? Again, Pesha Asar, Pesha Yitter. Because if he wouldn't have said it came from his field, what would I have said? I would have said he got it from the Shuk. And from the Shuk, we would have assumed that it was that the Maisers had already been taken. But if it's known that he has a field, so then it wasn't his mouth that was Mechadesh to us. You don't have a Pesha Asar. We knew it was his field, and we would assume that the stuff he's selling came from his field. So he loses the Pesha Asar, so Chayav La'asar, and you would have to take Maisus, even though he said in Eidos that Maisus had already been taken. Okay. That's the Mishnah. Gemara. Yisrael, the guy, Shukar, Be'ezah, Shogai, Ba'ishom, Mirai, Nesim, Chamber, Ezor, Mois. You have a Yisrael, the guy that purchased a house. And there's Yayin Nesach, there's Avodah Zarah, there's money, Lo Yarmalai, he should not say to him, he may not say to him, Tolata Yayin Nesach, Avodah Zarah, and Yimois, you can't take it, you can't divide it up. I mean, obviously, that's Mamash, the Kalach of our Mishnah, that Misha Bolar Shusai, and this came to his Rishon, he made a Kenyan. On Rabbi Yerkin, when he said, Yayin Nesach, Avodah Zarah, most, not only is it true about those items listed, Elafil Hoy Lo Yisham Shnei Tzlomen, he had two. There in the house there were two images. Echad osay kamin glufki, one made like a cupboard, and echad chain osay kamin glufki, one's not made like a cupboard. The rule is like this: there's a Gemara of Zara that says the following. Whenever you have things which have images on them, if it's a davar chashav, it's asar. If it's a davar that's not chashav, it's mutter. In other words, we assume if you have, let's say, for instance, there were images painted on ordinary pots and pans, you don't assume that it was named L'Shem Avodah Zarah because it's not Choshev. Whereas if it's on a fancy piece of furniture, so then you can assume that it's awesome. So that's what the difference is between the, if so you have one is Kamin Blufki, one is like a cupboard. So the cupboard is assumed, right? The cupboard is the one that's assumed. He says cover.
He says,
Ain't no Asu Lava Dazar. It's not Asi. It's constructed. Yeah. He's in 7, he says it's a wooden cabinet. Yeah. He says it's a wooden cabinet that was used to store wine cups and decanters. In this case, it's constructed in the form of some kind of idolatrous figure containing hooks or compartments to hold the utensils. So, right. Anyway, so that's why. So again, what Birkin is saying, well, Yomalai, he shouldn't say, Tolato as she'enu asay kamed lufki. You take the one that's not like a cabinet. Ani noy tolho asay kamed lufki, and I'll take the one that's like a cabinet. In other words, even though the objects are both the same type, they both have images, that exchange is also awesome. That's what Birkin is telling me. Not a big kiddush, but it's a slight kiddush. Amar Rav Ze'eira v'yo'os, and this is indeed correct. Alright, let's suppose you had a chaver. He's makbid on maestros, let's say. And an amoris. And they inherit the possessions of their father. And there's some produce that had been mukshal kabotoma and others that were not mukshal kabotoma. Is it possible that he could say, you take the ones that had heksher, and I'll take the ones that were not mukshar? Because after all, their father was an amoritz. Anything that was mukshar is assumed to be tameh. And so I would be saying, oh, you know what? I'll take the stuff that was not mukshar, so I'll get all the tahor stuff, and you take that stuff. You certainly cannot do that. We learned earlier in 61b, a chaver who inherits together with his amoritz cannot say, you take the wet produce, and I'll take the dry produce. That says, we said befeirush over there, that was osur. So despite that the produce is all of a single species, you can't divide it up. So in Rabbi Yochanan's case also, the permitted, so in other words, that's what Rabbi Zeira is proving. Rabbi Yochanan's statement about the cabinets, which are similar, but the fact is, one is osur because it's choshev and it's avod zarah. Another one is not, so it's just like the case of Muksha. In other words, on the outside, it looks the same. This peiri looks like this peiri. It just happens to know we have a idea that this one is Muksha and this one's not. It doesn't make a difference. Okay, that's the right. From Masisa Pliga, the Gemara asks a question from a Bryce. The Gemara is asking a kasha from our Mishnah by the Goy and the Ger, Shiyarshu from their father, that he can divide it up. So how come over here? So he's, you all know the answer already. It should say, it's like Amar Seifa, Amar Sufa. Look at the final clause. Lesi Pliga, and you'll find it does not argue at all. Amar Shabol, Rishos HaGer, it's Osir. Once it comes into the Ger, it's Rishos, then it's Osir. And that's the cases that we've been discussing, that it came into the Rishos already. Hocha, Mechim, and Shekona, once you bought it together with the guy together, Kimishinekas, Lashus, so it's like where it came to his Rishos. Okay? Next Gemara, 62b3. Achilles, this is the name of a convert, Achilles. In the footnote, it says that this is actually Unklus. Achilles and Unklus, they sound the same, and they actually are the same person, apparently. So Achilles Hager, Chilek Imachav. So he divided up an estate with his brothers, right? So Unklus Hager, he's got some brothers who are Goyim, obviously. And their father dies, and they divide up the estate. So what happens over here? Look at this. Hechmir al atzmai v'hoylach hanoi liyam ha-melech. He was machmir, and whatever benefit he received in exchange for Avodah Zarah, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. He took it to Yam
HaMelech.
Like Yaakov Avinu.
Yeah.
How was that like Yaakov Avinu?
He gave all of his stuff to Esav that he didn't want, and plus when he had the whole mishpacha get rid of all their avodah zarahs and everything.
Uh-huh.
So they
purged themselves of all the avodah zarahs. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara has a discussion as to what exactly he threw out. Plus Amar, there's three opinions. One say he took the entire value of the idol. So let's say there was an idol there worth $100. So he took, let's see, in footnote 18, it says over here that all the money he received in place of the idol. Okay? So if he had, assuming he had one brother, right? Suppose he had one brother.
The brother took the Avodah Zarah. He threw the money that's equivalent to the Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, so he's asking on the bottom here, he has a problem. He says, why did he throw all the money out? He was only entitled to half the idol. His brother's entitled to half the idol. So he really was only getting 50% of the idol. So why did he take the value of the whole idol? That's what he asked the question. Not clear what would have motivated him to rid himself of the entire value, since he's entitled only to 50% of the idol to begin with. Perhaps it was because of the possible appearance that the money was being exchanged for the entire idol, or perhaps he was concerned about the fact that he had desired the existence of it. Rights of Ikiyumo. Here he's where he brings in the rights of Ikiyumo, which is rights of Ikiyumo is apparently not an Isser Gomer as far as this is concerned. This is a Chumrah. Okay.
Yeah.
about his brother to.
Well, his brother's getting the idol.
Right, but I'm saying he didn't want him to. Right, he's getting the idol.
Yeah, so it's not going to help his brother. So anyway, that's the first sheet. The value of the idol. He transported the value of his share in the idol to the Dead Sea, which means...
Oh, the half. This is the half.
This is the half?
Half.
19, let's
see.
That's
what he says, half.
Yeah, his share of the idol, which is one half, right. So, let's see. V'chan Omar, the third one says, Avodah Zorah Atzma Ha'ilach Yom HaMalach. This is an interesting one. He, instead of taking money in exchange for his portion of the idol, he let his brother take the money. And he took the idol. And then he took the idol and he threw it into the sea. Now this makes sense. you wanna be idealistic. Ella Bishvil Hakar Avodah Zorah Mi Beis Abba, he wanted to uproot the Avodah Zorah from his father's house. That's nice. Yeah. Okay. And that's the end of 62. I'm going to just stop the recording for a second.